The season might be over for the Toronto Raptors, but the rumor mill just started churning. Welcome to Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney. Why do we all look so happy and relaxed today?
No Toronto Raptors basketball.
Can I finish it? He couldn't even wait to get it out. God forbid I finish my intro.
Damn, bro.
Were you like holding on to it all weekend? Are you out of breath right now?
Yeah, he's not. Totally
he was happy. He was completely happy. But
I missed the Raptors.
I don't care. I don't care what's happening in the world of NBA right now. We'll talk about the playoffs. We'll talk about what's happening. But the Raptors are going to have one of the most chaotic offseasons, in my opinion, that's just about to come over. And it just started actually on Friday when Fred VanVleet was asked about the team itself. And Fred was asked, you know, what do you think the young people, the young squad the young players on the squad have to do to come out and be better. And instead of having an internal discussion, he said this out loud and he said, well, I think a lot of our guys are a little bit immature. Got to spend a little bit more time in the locker and then the weights and blah, 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 you know, all those things. But it got me to think, and I think it started a discussion across the platform too, because some people were on board with what he had to say because they were like, this is right. It's true. They do have to work on their stuff. But other people were saying, well, is this what a leader should be saying from the locker room? Okay, I see you're nodding like head's about to fall off, but I'll get there really quickly. So I wanted to ask you guys and have like a full open discussion about this entire season. I think for me, the leadership has been a big question mark. So as it stands currently, who is the leader of the Toronto Raptors? Justin?
Number 23, Fred VanVleet. Simple as that. He's the leader of this team. And who else, when you look at this roster, right? Who has the personality? Who has the pull to be the leader of this team? It's Fred VanVleet, right? You look at Pascal Siakam. We know he's the best player on the team, but does his personality warrant leadership, right? I don't think so. We haven't seen that at all from him, right? And everybody's saying, oh, Fred VanVleet is throwing parting shots as he's leaving the organization. The way I see it is he's holding his teammates accountable. I saw DeMar DeRozan after the game on Friday against the Miami Heat. He said post-game, they're like, oh, who's going to be involved in your workouts? And he said, everybody 23 and under is mandatory to be at my workouts in the offseason. That's the same type of energy, right? DeMar DeRozan is a leader. Fred VanVleet has learned from guys like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and to some extent, Kawhi Leonard. I don't know, Kawhi wasn't really the leader of that 2019. It was around, you know, Kyle Lowry. And I think that relationship that Kyle and Fred had about being a leader, I'm sure he learned a lot from Kyle on leading this organization and carrying on that culture. And I think with Fred, I like what he's saying. He's putting his, making everybody accountable, putting them on blast in public, because he's the guy that's had to work for everything he's got in the NBA. He was undrafted. He went through the G League. He came off the bench. He became the sixth man. He became a starter, became an all-star, and he's going to get paid over $100 million in this offseason from the Raptors, or some team out there will pay him that money. And I think for him, when he sees guys that have more talent than him, right, that have, you know, more, have had more opportunity than him to start their career off, and they're not taking advantage of it, of course it's going to make you feel some type of way. Because if everybody had the same work ethic and desire as Fred VanVleet, people can say all you want about, oh, you do think he shoots too much and all of this and that, but he's put the work in to earn those shots, right? Kobe Bryant did the same thing. He never wanted to pass Shaq the ball because Kobe knew how much work he put into it rather than Shaq, who would have his off-seasons off. Now, again, totally different dynamic. Nobody's comparing Fred VanVleet to Kobe Bryant. I'm just saying the situation is this. Fred's put the work in his whole career. He's grinded his whole way up to become this elite level basketball player. And when he sees his team and his franchise, these younger players kind of coasting off and not taking it as seriously as he would, why wouldn't you call them out?
I love the take. Very good take.
Thank you.
But let's look at the Siakam factor, right? Because I think after the championship year, we lost Kawhi, and we still had Kyle, of course, who was the leader for sure. But then once Kyle left, I think it was Pascal's team. Mm-hmm. And obviously, yes, he's the best player, considered to be the best player on the team. So by default, you look at him and to be that leader, right? But at times I see that, yes, he's kind of vocal, not as much as Fred, but he'll say a few things to try to get you know, these guys to play up to the level that they're expected to play at. But I think through Pascal, there's been a struggle. I think, mm-hmm. you know, as the leader of the quote unquote leader of the Raptors in this whole Pascal Fred type era, if
the
you
Pascal
could even call
Fred
it,
era, yeah.
Yeah, if you could even call it an era. I think it's been tough times because right now you might argue that there's no leader at times, right? Yes, Fred is there, but again, after that game, you're seeing, yes, he did call them out, which I do like. I do like my star players to you know, hold guys accountable, but at the same time, you got to look at yourself in the mirror too. And I don't know how much these guys do it, right? So the whole thing with Pascal, like I wanted to bring up, was just I don't know how much of a leader he really is. Is he the type of leader that shows you through his game, right? More than being a vocal leader, probably, possibly, because he's gone through things as well. Pascal has, and he's gone through it. He's played through it, so that could be an example. You know, that he's shown to his teammates that despite off court problems, remember he was dealing with things in the bubble, all that stuff, right? You can still play through it. So you could argue it's Pascal. With the Fred point, I see the point there, because he is bet on yourself. He is the vocal leader of this group. And yeah, guys around the league respect Fred VanVleet, right? Yeah. But I just think this time with these two guys as, you know, the cornerstones of the Raptors, I just don't know if it really works, because this is a different look, a different feel than what we used to have. DeMar and Kyle, right? Those guys were true. Those were true. You looked at Kawhi.
Vocal.
So yeah, it's different times.
I want to ask you, Noor. You saw the media end of the season media availability, and somebody asked Pascal about what Fred's comments were, and he had that little chuckle on his face, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a little bit of beef between the two of them?
No, they're besties. I don't think.
No, I think Siakam and Poeltl are besties. I don't think Fred.
No, Freddie and Siakam have been for the longest. They started their whole journey together, but Raptors 905 now coming on to the Raptors itself, winning a champ. Like, no, they're close. They're like beloved. They call each other. But I think you raised a really good point. I've been saying this, I feel like, the entire year, where I just don't think this locker room has a real leader. A lot of the people that we mentioned just now, and you guys made great points, and I think based off of Siakam's trajectory, because of where he's gone through, what he's gone through, it's a very inspiring story for people around him to be like, well, if he can do it, I can do that too. Same as Freddie, where it's like he had to bet on himself to be where he is right now. So the frustration of having to build yourself up to where you are and then having to watch someone who got drafted out of nothing kind of just like take everything on the back burner, I'm sure it's frustrating. But my problem is I don't think any of them is set out to be a leader. I don't think it's Freddie. I don't think it's Nick Nurse. I don't think it's Pascal Siakam. It cannot be Scottie Barnes because he's way too young for this. But those guys that you look at, I don't think they have what it takes, because as you said, yes, they've gone through a lot, but when you're supposed to be a leader, you have to put aside your own experiences. You use them to work around the people that you're with, but you don't use them to justify your own actions. So what he did, and when he went to talk to the media, that was everything he said was great, and it was true. Like, you need to be able to ask a lot from your young guys, and they should be putting in the work and effort throughout not just the regular season but also in the off season. But I don't think that was the right place to make those comments. We had the same problem with Nick Nurse, too. These guys are talking in ways that they should not be talking. All these things should be maintained in the locker room amongst your personnel. Anytime you open your mouth and you let someone into dirty laundry, now, like, think about it this way, right? Let's say we're sitting here. I say, you know, shit, I wish Jelani went a little bit harder today. Now, I'm not going to tell him that. I'm going to go and say this to on social media. I'm going to be like, damn, I wish Jelani went harder today.
But how do we know that wasn't said in the locker room, though?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. It should never escape the locker room. I don't care how many times you say in the locker room. It should never escape. Because the second your locker room now thinks that you're talking about them in the public eye, you've lost their trust.
And it seemed like Pascal in that one comment, he didn't know that Fred said what he said about the team, right? So he was kind of taken aback. That's why he chuckled.
There's nothing wrong. He's absolutely 1,000% correct. It's just you don't say it to other people. When you have something wrong, a problem with somebody, now him saying that is going to cause friction between him and Scottie Barnes, him and all the young guys, because they'll be like, do you even like us? Do you even think we put up a fight? Do you even think we do anything?
But did they put up a fight a lot of the time?
It doesn't matter. Anything he wants to say to them, he can be as aggressive as he wants to. He can call. They can fight. They can fucking beef it out. But that has to be in the locker room. No one can know about it. Because I think the second that trickles out, you are now pitting your teammates against each other. And that's what happens. They don't like each other. They play like they're not friends. They play like they don't like each other. Yeah, and well,
it's just been overall, it's just been a down year.
And I think that's why I think the writing's on the wall. We know there's going to be big changes here in Toronto. I think a lot of these pieces and players that Fred could be alluding to might not be back next year.
It's true.
Right?
He might himself not be back next year. He might not even be himself be back
next year. But I think, like I said before, I think Fred sticks around. I think Fred is that guy that...
No, I think he's great, but I really do think... And he's great for a quote to end media, but in terms of kind of just holding back your ego, that goes to both him and Nick Nurse. I want to see more of that. Like, they say the exact right things. They have the right approach, but...
Like the time they say it.
Yeah,
like
it just should not be said to the media. These things should never... Just think about it. Like, I'm telling you, like, we're sitting together. We're a group. We're having conversations. Next second, I go out, talk to the press, and be like, yeah, guys, my team members, they're great, but they're immature. How would you feel?
Well, maybe they spoke after. I don't know if they spoke. We don't know.
We don't know.
Really. I know, but regardless, it drifts apart the trust that you have with your team, and I think that's the issue.
I see what you're saying.
In my opinion, it's a problem. And that's also why I think the next, whatever the Raptors do, they have to look for a real voice in the locker room. We need to have someone, like, as we did with Kawhi, as we did with DeRozan sometimes, too, because DeRozan could have to take the backseat to Kyle because he was so loud and proper in the way that he went about things. And I think that's what we're missing. Hopefully.
I think Fred was supposed to, like, after Kyle, right? He was second in line. So I think that's what Justin was trying to point out before. But...
Exactly. Yeah, he was the next in line because he was the closest to Kyle. And I think they played the same position. He kind of took over that leadership. And again, there's a whole lot of things that are going on with this team, this organization. We still haven't heard from really Masai yet or Bobby. Right. Hopefully this week we do hear from them. But I think the biggest thing is they just need to isolate the people they want a part of this culture that they want to reintegrate and rebuild and be all in on those guys and fill the pieces around them that can buy into that same common goal and culture. And once they do that, I think things will start turning in an upward trend.
Yeah, well, like Justin said, there'll be a bunch of people returning and a bunch of people probably not returning next season, including your staff, your coach, and your players. It's going to be a pretty hefty, long season for the Raptors. We'll be here for the ride. Anything you see on Twitter, tag us, let us know. We want to get all the juice. We'll talk about everything that can allude to what this team could look like next season. And that's why we're here on Hoop Talks.
The NBA playoffs kicked off this weekend, and man, were there some guys who balled out. So today, we're going to open up the Ballers Club for our first playoff edition. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney joined with Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Noor Zainab. Guys, what a weekend it was. In the world of basketball. That's all I did this weekend. I watched basketball.
Yep. Same.
It was a great weekend. Great weekend. I know Jelani was busy with a bit of Netflix reality TV for a little bit.
Love is Blind. Love is Blind. Shout out to the crew. You know, Netflix I know was giving us some issues, but we're here. We're up.
I did hear Netflix fumbled the bag a little bit, but you know who didn't fumble the bag? The guys who are in the Ballers Club. So guys, because the playoffs started off, it's going to be a little segment that's going to be going on, hosted by yours truly, because I'm the biggest baller of them all.
Let's continue.
Shameless plug by myself. But yeah, shameless. Basically, every time we record Hoop Talks, we'll be having I'll be displaying a couple guys that deserve to be in the Ballers Club because they showed out when it mattered the most in the playoffs. So today, we're going to start off with four people. And the first person plays in the city that never sleeps. He just came and went into the land, stole a game one victory. That is one Jalen Brunson. Brunson had 27 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in the win. He scored 21 in the second half. He really did play big when it mattered the most. And he had 3 fouls as well. So he was playing with a bit of foul trouble as well. And he played very well. Now, guys, of course, Jalen Brunson left Dallas last year after he helped them go to the Western Conference Finals, signed a 4-year, $104 million deal last year. And the best part is the poetic justice or the artistic thing of this was he did it against the Cleveland Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell, of course, was hot on the Knicks' radar. And the Knicks basically chose Jalen Brunson over Donovan Mitchell. So I'm going to pose this question to you. Did that win in game one act as vindication, for the Knicks for choosing Jalen Brunson over Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I would say it's game one, right? A series is very long. It could be long. It could be short, obviously. But I think it's a new season, right? So it takes time to see how things play out. So after one game, you're not going to decide everything. But I would say I'm very impressed with what the Knicks were able to do in Cleveland. And they led the way, you know, through Brunson's performance. Brunson, definitely, you got to argue, this might be the signing of the offseason that really changed things in the NBA, right? Because the Knicks, look, they're usually laughed at and they're usually the joke, right? Oh, it's the Knicks, whatever. But this year, they were playing some really good basketball. And they've been playing really good basketball. Obviously, Randle, when he's, you know, his all-star level self, they play through him. But it's obviously definitely through Brunson. Mm-hmm. So I think it is justified right now. And if you're Dallas and you're watching these playoffs, you're watching what he's done all year, actually, you're sitting in a spot where it's like, man, they should be embarrassed.
You're sitting at home on the couch, Jelani. They're not even sitting in the spot. Home. They're at home munching on some sun chips, watching Jalen Brunson go off, the guy that they let go. Because how much would that have helped their team right now?
And holy, you see, last year in the playoffs, the 5-4 in the West, it was Dallas versus Utah. Who was on Utah at the time? Mitchell, right? And Brunson played a huge role in Dallas beating Mitchell's Jazz last year. So we might see the same thing again. I think it's something where the Mavs should be embarrassed.
Now, no, you know, always clown on the Knicks, so you kind of have to eat a slice of humble pie here.
I don't think I have, but I think we all collectively give the Knicks a little bit of, okay, you're whatever, God. But a lot of us just give them a little bit of slack every now and then because it's the Knicks. But I was worried about them after Julius Randle's incident, just knowing, not even like would he play, but just like what level he would look like. What his rehabilitation would look like going into the playoffs now. But even regardless of how he played, you'd really need to have him have a massive night because you saw Donovan Mitchell put up 38 points. The fact that the Cavaliers didn't win with that is kind of crazy. They were also in Cleveland. Kind of crazy. Their defense lacked having Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the roster. Kind of insane. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I think that's also the point when we kind of notice that the Knicks have a lot of pieces they can rely on. They've got Jalen Brunson. You have Julius Randle. But then there's also guys like Josh Hart off the bench, Emmanuel Quickley. There's big guys that can give them contribution from all angles. And that's what we're seeing happen. And Donovan Mitchell's amazing. He's great. But that 38 points should have been enough for this Cavs team to get the win, but they did not.
It was also a really ugly night shooting for both teams. I think the Knicks only shot like 27% from three-point range. Julius Randle was really inefficient. But then when it mattered the most, Jalen Brunson stepped up big. You know, a couple big layups at the end, a couple of nice buckets.
He only played 9 minutes for the first half, too.
Yeah, because he was in foul trouble.
Yeah, 21 points in the second half.
Yep. Just showed you how being aggressive and the confidence he has this year. He should have been an all-star, an absolute travesty. He wasn't an all-star. Moving on to the next baller from this past weekend, another guard from Sacramento. And he actually lit the damn beam after a game one victory, 126-123 over the Golden State Warriors. And that was the one, the only, De'Aaron Fox, 40 minutes played, 38 points, was guarding Steph Curry.
Yes.
And making his life a little bit challenging. Now, Steph still had his own shared Steph type tonight. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox had 29 of his 38 points in the second half, 15 of the Kings' 35 points in the fourth quarter, and proved to you why he's one of the clutch finalists.
The clutch player of the year, the new award.
Wait, the clutch their own award?
Not clutch, not the actual agency, but the clutch player.
It's a C, not a K.
Okay.
Clutch. Look, I was extremely impressed with De'Aaron Fox. His speed, his shifties, we knew he had all that, but to guard Steph Curry and just, you know, him running through screens, running around, and then still give it to you on the offensive side, that was very big. So props to De'Aaron Fox for joining the Ballers Club. But my question is this. I was reading a lot of dialogue and discourse after the game about De'Aaron Fox. Do you think he can take that next level and have consistent performances, not 38 points a game, but can he put himself into the upper echelon of the NBA, becoming a top 10, potentially an MVP caliber player, Noor?
I think, well, this is what, his sixth year in the NBA. This is his first year in the playoffs. And seeing what he's doing right now is, it's about giving him the right resources to be where he is, right? He wouldn't have been able to do that by himself. It's just no guy who, no matter how great you are, especially in a conference like the West where everything is so up and down, can you take a team on your back and make them win? So the fact that he now has this supporting cast and a roster that can put him in the best places to be, I think bodes well for his future. Now, I don't know how that will look for him in terms of the greatness. I think that's still a long way to go, and we need to see a lot more of the same things that we've seen this year stack up over the next few years. But once that gets done, and I think what sucks is they have to go against the Warriors in the first round, and if a lot of people probably don't have them going over the Warriors, but I do think if they somehow get this series going, this could be the start of something for the Kings and for De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, well, when he got drafted, right, we were expecting to see this, right? Yeah. When he was at Kentucky, he was lighting up the place, you know, obviously with Malik Monk as well. Shout out to him. Great performance.
32 points off the bench, right?
On the bench. Great. Yeah, so we were expecting this from De'Aaron Fox. And over the last few years, he's actually been balling. It's just the problem is Sacramento wasn't looking like this, mm-hmm. right? So you weren't going to hear about them a lot. Yeah. There were arguments to be made the last few years. Was he, you know, an all-star or just outside of that all-star, you know, caliber player? The last 3 years, he's been around that 25 points per game mark. So he's been balling as of late, right? So what I want to see is, yes, more consistency as we move forward. If we could see runs like these as we go forward in the years to come, yes, he could definitely make a case because he has the tools, he has the talent mm-hmm. to do it. And if he's the leader of a playoff team in the West, it's
a high-end playoff team in the West too. And I think the biggest thing with De'Aaron Fox is he played in Sacramento for so many years, and we know this is finally the first year in a really long time that Sacramento is getting put on the national NBA stage. They played on ABC for the first time since like 07, right?
Sacramento looked lit last night, too.
It did. The crowd was into it. What an atmosphere they had in Sacramento. And De'Aaron Fox is leading the charge. Now, DeMontis Sabonis didn't have the best game, but when you have a guy like Malik Monk that can chip in with 30 points off the bench and a guy like De'Aaron Fox, I'm not saying he's going to get 38 every game, but if he can do that and make Steph Curry's life not difficult, but make him really work for those 30 points. And Steph, what was he? I think he was, you know, sub 50% from 3-point range. I think it was a little bit above from the field. So if you can make Steph Curry's life difficult, that is very important. But I still think the Warriors have the series. But it was a great moment to watch De'Aaron Fox, a guy who's been through so much in Sacramento, to light that beam at the end of
light
the game.
Light it. And he's been patient, too.
He's been very patient. Been
long
and
process.
I mean, think about it. They drafted Tyrese Halliburton, and they decided, you know, we're going to go with De'Aaron Fox, and it looks like it's paying off for Sacramento. Speaking of paying off, the Los Angeles Lakers, the LA Lakers, not led by LeBron James, not really led by Anthony Davis at the end of the game, led by Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. Rui had 29 points coming off the bench, 11 of 14 from the field, 5 3-pointers. Holy moly, Jelani. 6 rebounds, 1 assist. Nuri. Austin Reeves had 23 points. He had 8 for 13 from the field, and he had his I'm him moment. Dare I say, this might have been the most impressive performance by a Laker duo in the playoffs since Shaq and Kobe. And for all of you out there, I am completely joking. But
don't dare it.
If the Lakers want to win this series, which, you know, we both predicted they would win, did you?
Yeah,
oh
no.
Oh my god. Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You had the Lakers. The Lakers. Yeah, yeah. I watched the conference finals. I forgot.
Yeah, y'all were, because I said I wouldn't be shocked if the Lakers win, but I had the Grizzlies.
That's right. Sorry, you picked the Grizzlies.
I did.
And you picked the Lakers.
Yeah, I did.
See, I did.
It's natural for us to be against each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So funny.
Anyway.
Dying of
but if the Lakers want to win this series, do they need to have duplicate performances from Rui and Austin Reeves like that if they have any chance of continuing their success against the Grizzlies?
Well, first of all, I'm very impressed with what I saw, right? Reeves 23-4-3, and then Rui, obviously, the 29-1-6. I'm not going to expect to see these guys shoot at a high clip like that for the foreseeable. No. Even Desmond Bane came out and said they wanted to force Rui Hachimura specifically into taking those shots. Made sure that he got them through. So it worked out for him. He said, let's see if it happens on Wednesday.
They said they're going to do the same thing on game 2, too. They're wide open.
I was very impressed, right? I think Austin Reeves, he's coming into his own, and I think he's definitely a real piece.
Is he a $100 million guy season?
I don't know.
He's going to get that.
He is. I don't know. He's playing up to that standard, though. And LeBron, in this time of year, he wants guys that will help him out, right, for those runs.
And play smart basketball.
If if he could do that, then you're playing with something. And then obviously Hachimura, mm-hmm. they brought him in because they wanted to, you know, solidify that depth. And he was playing really well offensively. That third quarter was huge. Okay, 12 points. He didn't miss from downtown in their run. They had like a 37-25 run in the third quarter. That's what really was the difference. So we'll see. Konnichiwa Kawhi right there. You know, with the Japanese right there.
Nice. That was good. Now I apologize for mixing up your pick. You had the Lakers. Okay, whatever. I'm just trying to be nice, right?
Whatever.
What did you think of that Lakers duel last?
I think I told you guys too. I'm the only one who had the Lakers going the furthest in the playoffs on this set, and I'm the non.
It's one game. One game.
Yeah, conference finals. Right?
But I'm just saying, yeah, it's the conference finals. I said it's going to be the LA showdown, the conference finals, and it's because of the support around LeBron James now. It's not just LeBron James. It's not just Day-to-Day Davis putting pressure on him. It's about all the other guys that support the system. You know that meme where it's like LeBron's the Ninja Turtle ones, or the ones they're going.
Oh, where he's being carried. Yeah.
Now it's turned around. So he's like the old pop and stuff, and the kids are holding his hand. They're walking down the hall with him. And that's Austin Reeves. That's Rui Hachimura. That's Malik Beasley. And even I guess Anthony Davis has a massive, fantastic game defensively. But
LeBron had 21 points yesterday.
Who didn't?
LeBron had 21.
No, he did great, yeah. But that also meant that it allowed people around him still being LeBron, lets people on his team open up.
Now.
Lets them have points that they did.
Last member of the Ballers Club. Quickly, because I know you have a lot to say
about
it.
Not going to be quick.
Return of playoff Kawhi Leonard. 38 points. Game one victory in Phoenix. Going shot for shot with Kevin Durant. What a theater that was. That was cinema there, Jalal.
Yeah, cinema.
Noor, I know you have a Clippers agenda to push and a Kawhi agenda to push. So after I messed up and fumbled the bag on your prediction, I'll give you the floor. Keep in mind, everybody, it's one game.
Doesn't matter. I came here. I was here, guys. I was here. Friday evening, no, Friday afternoon, whatever
it was,
the time
morning.
Who cares? Anyway, Friday afternoon. And I sat next to these two jabrones and I said, on a court jabrones. With KD and Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi's the best player on the court. Best player on the court. And then what happened last night? 38 points. Most efficient basketball player on planet Earth gets the win.
What?
You could argue that's KD.
You could argue that's Nikola Jokic.
Who won last night? Who won last
It's one
night?
Game.
Nikola Jokic had to play against YMCA dudes in the Timberwolves. He's going up against Devin Booker and freaking Kevin Durant, all right? Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. The thing with Kawhi Leonard is we forget. I understand the load management. He doesn't play that often. So you forget what he's like. And I think even when he does play, he takes the regular season as something to coast through. He's just like,
oh, that's
just,
very obvious.
Wanna,
he does
may
that.
I finish? It's still my chance. It's just like, you know what? I just got to make top six, just got to secure the playoffs, and then we'll figure out what happens. And the second the playoffs hit, it's just like the best of the best that you know in your favorite sport, whether that be LeBron James, whether that be
Brady.
I said Tom Brady. Whether that Jesus. Be Messi, whoever that is, once Ronaldo. The going gets tough, Messi.
Shohei
once the
Ohtani.
Going gets tough, the greats come out to play. And that's exactly what Kawhi Leonard did last night. He came out to play. And when you see Kawhi play, the thing is, he plays like the most efficient robot. Like, even when he's in the paint, he's making the right moves. He's like figuring out the play before the defender even gets the chance to figure out what's going to happen. The little sidestep he takes, the passes around, the shot that goes in every single time. Every shot he takes goes in. The fourth quarter, he had two back-to-back threes. After he had that, he was like, you know what? Now they know I'm going to take that three. Let me pass it out. Gets the assist to Eric Gordon. He gets that three in. That's how you win. You win with the straight forward leader who understands my eyes are on the prize. That's Kawhi Leonard, and he will go to the NBA Finals this year. Another hot.
Let's
game.
Not forget Russell Westbrook had a big block, played some tough defense on Kevin Durant. I was actually going to put
so
Russell Westbrook
guys.
In the Ballers Club, but I didn't.
Oh
wanna...
my God, you can't do that. You can't do that.
I was going to.
So don't do that. You can't do that. But thank you, Kawhi Leonard, for making me look right once again.
Let's just relax.
Look, 2019. He looked like 2019 Leonard. I'll say that. But it's game one.
Yeah.
All right. It's game one. It's a long series. So I think still I got the Suns in this series. We'll see what happens. Clippers supporting cast helped him out. I'll say that too. But yeah, I and look, KD still had a good game. Don't sleep on KD.
I'm not denying. I'm not
he had a
denying.
Rough first quarter, but after that,
I know,
he picked
but
it
after
up.
That.
I'm not denying. But, all I'm saying is, I think the support system, when it comes down to it, is going to be for the Clippers, and the best player on the court will be Kawhi Leonard. So it's a. But the thing is, Kevin Durant can come through, but regardless, it's going
to
be
Kawhi. I just think it's because there's no Paul George, they have to have another level of intensity, and they have to be on their A game, and that's why Kawhi threw him. I see it. I see it. I see the vision, but again, I'm going with the Suns.
Alrighty. Well, that was the opening edition of the Ballers Club for the NBA playoffs. Stick around for Wednesday when we have another edition to see who balled out over the last couple days. This has been Hoop Talks.